Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So by later admission, Dahmer talked about wanting to dominate and control a completely submissive male partner.
Dominate.
That's really good.
Thank you.
I never thought of that.
Thank you.
Welcome, indeed, back to Shit They Do Not Tell You What About Podcast. My name is Stephen Green, and today we are talking about Jeffrey
Dahmer.
Hi,
I'm Nikki Limo. I'm also a co-host on this podcast.
Nobody cares.
Shit They Don't Tell You.
This is a Steve episode. It's all Steve Day, and everyone's excited about it.
Cool, I'm excited. What are we talking about?
Today, we're talking, indeed, about
indeed
Jeffrey Dahmer. One Jeffrey Dahmer.
The one Jeffrey Dahmer.
So, are you aware that there is a Netflix show right now about Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah, I've heard about that, and I don't get why we have to have another one, but okay.
What do you mean another one?
There's a lot of documentaries about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, but most kids, especially people listening to this, were probably born like 2005 or some shit, so they don't know. Uh-huh. They think it's a brand new fucking documentary. They don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you ever notice that?
All right, whatever.
You ever notice like old movies, like don't, like they're basically just remaking old movies and people don't even fucking notice because it's like, hey, this looks new.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, not that they don't know about Lion King and Aladdin and all
that
shit.
Yeah, they say there's no original stories anymore.
There's really not, especially if you look at structure of stories. Like, it's really...
I guess I just saw a tweet about, like, some of the victims' families getting their... being portrayed again, and they're, like, really fucking sick of it. They're like...
Yeah.
Just leave us alone. Like,
honestly,
how many more do you need? Like, we've already done this. Why do we have to keep reopening the wound every fucking 5 years because you want to talk about a serial killer because everyone's obsessed with serial killers?
Why are we like this?
I don't know. Because, like, I will admit that I think true crime is really interesting, but more in a sense of, like, I want to know how people's minds operate so that it's almost like so I could protect myself better. Like, don't just blindly trust people. Look for, you know, similarities in these killers that you can, like, are red flags. You know, they all have very specific certain ways of thinking, certain backstories in their childhood, like certain ways that they manipulate people,
They're also master, I have to say, something, a pattern I've personally noticed. They tend to be masters at observing human, basic humanity.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, one of Ted Bundy's things was like preying on that awkward, like, kindness stuff that we all do sometimes, where it's like
the helping
there's
someone.
A stranger and it's like, hey, can you come help me?
Yeah.
And like, you don't want to help them, but you're like, feel awkward. And so you're like, want to be nice.
Especially women.
Exactly.
Women feel very obligated to, like,
or you're a bitch immediately, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's fucking interesting that they observe that flaw, mm-hmm. they find like that weakness and they exploit the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Super interesting. Anyway, Jeffrey Dahmer was born. Do you know when he was born?
Well, only because you just told me right before we started recording.
Curses.
May 21st.
So yeah, he was born May 21st, 1960.
A Taurus.
He's a Taurus. So what do you think about Tauruses now?
They're all serial killers.
That's what I'm thinking.
All of them are serial killers.
That's what I'm beginning
Every
to think.
Every single one. Actually, you should never trust a Taurus. My mom's a Taurus.
I don't trust Tauruses.
I don't trust her. Look what she created. An abomination.
I don't even trust the car. I won't even get into that car.
Me neither. I don't even trust the Taurus that is the energy of planets that goes like nope. this, you know, like.
By the way, true story, me and Nikki, we were, you know, looking for a house in Vegas.
Yeah.
We found out our realtor was a Taurus and we fired him on the spot. That's a true story.
He tried to kill us. At least we know that because of his astrological sign, he was most probably trying to kill us.
He was out of defense.
You know, I was looking at a list of serial killers and they had their astrological signs next to them. Very few Scorpio, like none, like
very
no Scorpio.
What's very few?
Well, I can't remember if they were Scorpio or not, but I just remember being like, yes, we're not on the list. Like, I don't think there were Scorpios on that list. There's like the most famous serial killers. None of them were Scorpios.
Hitler was a Scorpio.
No, he wasn't. He was a Taurus.
I hope he was.
I think he was a Taurus. Damn. Actually, like, look it up right now. Actually, look it up.
Fine.
I think he was a Taurus.
I sure hope he was a Scorpio.
I don't think he is.
That would just own you so good right now.
I was actually surprised because...
Wait, he's April 20th, right? Everyone knows that. 420, right? Everyone knows that.
So he's an Aries? Wait, is he... He's on the cusp of being a Taurus then, if it's April 20th.
So he's a fucking Taurus.
He's on the cusp. Yeah, he's an Aries. Well, I don't like Aries either.
I'm looking up Adolf Hitler astrological. Look, if this is boring to you, I'm sorry, but this is actually fascinating to me. I think that we might have cracked the code on this thing.
I was surprised that there weren't more Scorpios because I feel like... You know, like they're pretty good manipulators psychologically. Like, I don't know, they're kind of brooding, kind of into weird shit.
It says Taurus sun for Hitler.
There you go. Well, the sun sign is the sign that most people go by.
All right, we're going to get in now into one Jeffrey H. Albadeus Dahmer.
Is his middle name really Albadeus? I don't think.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is Albadeus.
No, it's not.
It is. You didn't know that, huh?
Fuck you.
I hate that you know me. I hate it.
I know.
I can't stand it. Also, I missed you so much. I missed you. I love you. I love my wife. Okay. So.
You're not allowed to be a wife guy anymore. We're going off on tangents, but.
Sorry.
Wife guys end up being cheaters.
Don't be wife guys. Oh, that's true. Oh, because of that. You're talking about that guy from that show.
Yeah, from the Try Guys. Yeah, the wife guy, Try Guys.
He was like known for like being with his wife and stuff.
And like very publicly like adores her. You know, and like Adam Levine or whatever, they're calling all wife guys cheaters now.
Wife guys are cheaters. There it is. Yeah. There it is. Can't love your wife too much.
Can't love your wife too much.
Don't love anything too much. I think we all agree.
You can love me too much.
Okay. So he's born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I know this.
So yes, the reason why I'm doing the show is to ride search because guess what? There's a fucking Netflix show and people are Googling this shit. So hopefully we get some juicy, juicy clicks.
Scott. Anyway.
Jeffrey Dahmer Milwaukee. Is from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He was the basic story is he was deprived of attention as an infant.
Like, I literally saw a documentary on this like 5 years ago.
It doesn't matter. This is a new one with new cinematographers, new budget, new actors.
Right,
you understand?
Right. Same trauma.
You can't just do one story, although they should not remake Schindler's List. I think that's like a one and done.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyway, this is a story that it's because I think, you know, so he was deprived of attention as an infant, according to some sources. But then some sources say he was generally like pretty much showered with love and praise by both of his parents, although his mom was known to be kind of like tense. And she wanted attention and she wanted pity from her neighbors, right? And as Jeffrey gets into the third grade.
So did she have Munchausen syndrome by proxy or something?
I don't think she was ever diagnosed with that.
Okay.
Which is when you do things to harm your child so that they need you.
So so you get sympathy and like, you know, attention and stuff like that.
Yes.
For being like a savior.
his mom, however, was a hypochondriac.
Okay. Is it me? Like, I'm pretty tense. I'm a hypochondriac.
She's half Filipino.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I know.
Jeffrey Dahmer's
mom. On one occasion, even his mom was known to have attempted suicide as well.
Damn.
But neither parent apparently devoted much time to their son, who later recollected that he felt unsure about the solidity of the family, like as a unit, right?
Okay.
He kind of thinks of a meme. He thinks it was a little bit of a meme.
Okay. That's fairly normal.
Right. He was apparently an energetic and very happy child, but he became subdued after. So before his fourth birthday, he had to get double hernia surgery.
Oh shit!
And at school, people, and you know, basically after that surgery, he was noticeably different.
Oh,
like he was more, he wasn't as energetic and
less
like
hernias. Youthful.
Yeah, exactly. He was less hernias now.
Yeah.
But he became more like withdrawn, I guess.
Oh, the hernias contained his love juice.
Could have been. So maybe the doctors fucked him out, right?
Yeah.
We love to blame the medical system.
Yeah.
I do.
Got traumatized subconsciously.
And due to his father's general absence and his mother's illnesses, he, you know, people believe that maybe that's why he didn't have that many friends. Like, he had a lot going on at home.
Right.
And he had, like, shit going on with himself medically. And then, yeah, he just didn't get to hang out with kids as much.
Okay.
So then, in October 1966, they moved to Doylestown, Ohio. And then they have a little brother for Jeffrey. And Jeffrey actually got to pick the name. He picked the name David for some reason. Okay. I think it's a bad name.
Why is that a bad name?
It's objectively just an awful name.
Wow, we know a lot of Davids.
I don't like their names, but I like them.
Stupid. It's the dumbest thing.
But I like them.
He's not serious, everybody named David.
I'm 100% serious. So there you go.
David.
All Davids.
He means it.
So he names his little brother David. Now, Jeffrey starts to take a fascination with, you know, like you get like a chicken at the store, like one of those, like,
I don't eat chickens.
You don't do it, but I know, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I guess, I suppose there was a time where I used to eat chicken, okay, and so purchase one at the
you
store.
You get like those, what do they call the tubs?
Cutlet?
The tubs, and it's got chicken in it?
The tubs of the rotisserie chicken?
Yeah, rotisserie chickens, thank you.
Okay.
So Jeffrey was noticing, like while they're eating dinner one night, he was noticing, he took an interest in the bones,
right,
of the chicken. Right. And he actually asked his dad about, like, hey, dad, what would happen if we like put these bones in bleach?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, and his dad thought that was kind of sick.
Yeah.
He thought it was kind of tight. Like, kind of like how Bart is with Taika, right?
Yeah.
He
oh, my son has an interest in chemistry.
Wow. My son, like, is going to be a chemistry major now. It's like, actually, he's going to be a fucking serial killer, Bart. So, yeah. Like, the dad thought it was really sick and tight. And also, Jeffrey used to take markers,
mm-hmm,
permanent markers, and draw all over his dad's iMac. But Jeffrey's dad thought it was tight, like Bart. It's not
stupid.
Tight. Okay. That's my buddy Bart. Anyway.
The iMacs of 1966.
They did not have iMacs.
They were so different than now.
So from an early age, he was interested in animal bones. And even like when, you know, you had the family, like there's a cat or a dog or a living animal.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested like in feeling them and where their bones are.
What the
How
fuck?
Fucking interesting is that, right?
I remember in science class in eighth grade, we had to take a rotisserie chicken and clean the bones thoroughly and put the chicken back together in like the skeleton form.
Why did we have to do that?
I thought it was gross. Did you have to do that too?
I didn't have to do that, but I had to do the pig thing.
What's the pig thing?
They get like these little pigs, like tiny, tiny little baby pigs that are dead already.
What?
And then we had to like operate on them.
Oh,
and all
my
kinds
God.
Of shit. Yeah, it was crazy.
What?
It was crazy.
We did frogs, but like.
Yeah, we did frogs.
But the chicken thing was like purely for the skeletal thing, for the bones. Like we were learning the bone names and stuff.
No, we did baby pig. It was like the smallest little baby pig I ever saw.
What the fuck? That would traumatize me.
Mm-hmm.
Pigs are so smart.
I know, but these ones weren't.
Chickens are dumb, and I was like, okay. And like frogs are kind of dumb, but like.
If pigs are so smart, they would know how to get away from us. And get off of the plate.
All right, moving on.
I agree with Nick, actually. They're really smart. So yeah, he's interested in dead animals, right? One time he saw his dad removing dead animal bones from underneath the family home. And he apparently got kind of weirdly thrilled.
Excited.
By the sound of animal bones, like, clacking together.
Pop the boner.
I don't know about that, but he used to call animal bones his fiddlesticks. So that's kind of weird.
That is pretty weird.
Just calling something a fiddlestick is weird. Calling something your fiddlestick is weird. Unless you're talking about your dick, I guess.
Well, how old was he? Because when I was a kid, I called things weird things all the time.
I want to say he was like six.
Like, I called chicken the drumsticks. I called them chicken on the cob.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because it was unironic, too. It was like, I just thought things on sticks were cobs.
That makes sense, though.
Okay, right, yeah. So yeah. Fiddlesticks kind of like look like bones?
Don't call anything fiddlesticks. How about that? Well, just this is a general rule.
Can I go like, oh, fiddlesticks?
No, you may not.
Like when something bad happens?
You may not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just want to know the rules.
So they move again, right? Another place in Ohio. Kind of boring. Who really fucking gives a shit, right? But apparently, from this new move, Dahmer started collecting big insects like dragonflies.
Okay.
He's also collecting he starts collecting skeletons of animals.
Okay, but insects don't have bones.
Yeah, I know, but he was like interested in all that shit, right?
Okay.
So then he'd put all that in jars of formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde.
That's what I just said. And then he would stow that away. So why are you laughing?
Because he didn't say formaldehyde, right?
I nailed it, actually.
So he would, he put dragonflies in formaldehyde and put them in jars and stow them away?
Yeah, weird shit.
Where did he get formaldehyde?
Bro, I don't fucking know.
It's not like he had, like, the internet back then. Like, it's, like, not a common
probably
thing.
Science class.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. And so in 1975, someone remembers Jeffrey Dahmer decapitating the carcass of a dog before nailing the body to a tree and impaling the skull on a stick, like just in a field behind his house.
Yeah, why are we obsessed with this?
Right?
I don't.
And as a prank, he invited a friend just to check it out. He's like, oh yeah, I found this randomly. Crazy, huh? But he obviously did it.
Yeah.
So then, you know, he gets into high school. He's seen as an outcast. I guess he would bring liquor to school and like hide it and shit. He also mentioned to a classmate who's like, hey, what the fuck? Are you drinking scotch? He's like, that's my medicine, dude.
What?
Yeah, he's like, that's my medicine.
Okay.
It's like a grandpa thing to say.
Sure.
It's pretty clever.
Yeah.
He's kind of in high school as well, kind of not exactly a social person.
Okay.
Largely uncommunicative, you might say. He was referred to by people around him, though, as highly intelligent, but he had average grades. So he was like, you know, Jeffrey, if you just apply yourself.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you know, I'll be a serial killer one day. You'll see. And they're like, you'll never be a serial killer, Jeffrey.
Right.
You know what I mean? They like his teacher. Him. No, his teacher said he'll never be a serial killer. And then he said, you'll see. And then the teacher said, I've had so many wannabes try to be serial killers. And like, they all don't make it. And he's like, I'm going to make it.
Right.
Yeah. When he gets to puberty.
He could have average grades because he was applying his intelligence to things he was actually interested in. Like bone structure.
Oh, great. Here's Nikki again with a rant about how college doesn't matter.
Same.
Great.
Like, maybe like if we were allowed to explore things we were actually interested in, like, we could all be serial killers.
Great. If it was up to Nikki, all colleges would be bulldozed to the ground.
Yeah, I am so anti.
So he gets to puberty, right?
Sure.
Now, all of a sudden, he's like, he kind of puts it together that he likes dudes, like that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't tell his folks. He didn't really tell anybody. But
it's pretty normal.
But he apparently had a brief relationship with another teenage boy, but they never did anything or anything. So what, they didn't act on it.
They interviewed the other boy. Like, yeah, how does people know?
Well,
that?
No, Dahmer admitted it.
Oh, okay.
Later on, when he's being interviewed.
Well, had a
little
crush.
Spoiler. He gets arrested.
I had a crush, but I didn't do anything.
I love when people say, "Don't give me spoilers on something like that." It's like everyone's fucking heard the story.
Yeah, it's from the '60s.
Give me a break. Like, actually, that happened because I was on JK yesterday, and we were talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, and then like I think it was fucking Anthony. He's like, no spoilers, I just started the show. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
This case has been solved for a long time.
Guy's a joke.
Anthony or Jeffrey Dahmer?
Anthony Lee, man.
Yeah.
Can't stand that guy.
Stupid.
So by later admission, Dahmer talked about wanting to dominate and control a completely submissive male partner.
Dominate.
That's really good.
Thank you.
I never thought of that.
Thank you.
He also had masturbatory fantasies, usually focusing on the chest and torso.
Of what?
Of the person, the subject.
You know what? I don't kink shame. I masturbate to things all the time.
Weird. It's fine.
What? Wait.
Dudes don't have no titties. I thought that was interesting.
Wait, are you saying like he masturbated to thinking of just like them being decapitated?
No, like looking at their chest and like torso. Just
looking at their chest and torso.
He's like a big chest and torso guy.
You know, some people like feet. Some people like chest and torso.
I thought it was kind of strange. I don't know.
It's like the shape of it. I don't know.
It's all good.
I don't know. That's not my thing.
It's not for me.
It's not my thing either. But I'm not going to shame people liking torsos.
I'm sorry, Jeffrey Dahmer, for shaming you. Is he still alive?
I have no idea. I think he got killed in prison, didn't he?
That's a massive spoiler. Apparently. Now we're going to get into one of his first attempts to kill.
Okay.
He conceals himself in bushes with the baseball bat to lie in wait for a man that he had observed being on this particular jogging path like many times.
Okay.
And he said that was his first attempt to attack and render an individual like unconscious so that he could have him be submissive to him.
Okay.
He also used to do pranks.
Wait, how did that end up?
He failed.
Oh, what happened?
The guy didn't pass by that day. I thought I said that.
No, you didn't. You just said
I thought I was very clear about that.
No. So he just waited in the bush with a baseball bat for a long time?
Yeah. Like all fucking day, yeah. And then nothing
happened. That guy got like nagged by his wife that day to like fix the roof finally. Exactly. And like, he didn't show.
She's like, when are you going to go buy us a garbage can? He's like, oh my God, what the fuck, woman? Who cares? Like, just put it in the bag. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be in a can. And she's like, the neighbors are complaining.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, my fucking wife. And then he saved his life.
That guy, man. That guy's my fucking hero, though. That guy.
That's why nagging wives are necessary.
Save lives. That's what we always
nagging
say.
Nagging wives save lives. You know, side note, when I got married, my initials changed to NAG.
Which I think is true. And apropos.
Used to be now. Now I'm a nag.
You are sure? You sure? Okay, so his first murder. Let's get to his first murder.
Okay.
This is when I know, but that's what everyone's listening for. So he commits his first murder in 1978.
You're making it so no one needs to watch the documentary or what?
Yeah, fuck this documentary. I want all the views. I want all the clicks.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to happen.
Like, aren't people going to click thinking that you're going to have some take on it?
This is my take.
Okay. Just the story itself.
I think Tauruses are murderers.
Yeah. Well, that's clear.
Okay. So on June 18th, 1978, Jeffrey Dahmer picks up a hitchhiker named Stephen Hicks.
Ooh.
Who's almost 19 years old.
Stephen, terrible name.
I like that name. He lures the youth to his house on the pretext of having some drinks. However, the hitchhiker just thought, you know, that sounds kind of fine because I'm headed to a rock concert anyway, so I'll just like get some beers with you, no problem. Dahmer had the house to himself. And this is just 3 weeks after he graduated, right?
Oh, okay.
So like,
he was living with his parents?
Yeah, I believe so. According to Jeffrey, the sight of seeing this guy bare chested on the roadside, so he's like shirtless walking around.
Sure. He loves torsos.
Stirred his sexual feelings.
Okay.
And whenever he, the hitchhiker, started talking about chicks, Jeffrey knew, like, cause that happened pretty quickly, because this guy is like, he really wanted to pull, you know, he's like trying to go party and pull.
Okay, pull some chicks?
Pull chicks.
Okay.
So then Jeffrey was like, ah, fuck, this guy's not going to be down probably, because he's talking about chicks immediately.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I'm fucked. So then after several hours of like, drinking, chilling, stuff. Then the hitchhiker's like, yeah, I'm thinking about bounce. And that's when Jeffrey picked up a 10-pound dumbbell and hit him twice from behind with the dumbbell.
Over the head?
The hitchhiker, yep. The hitchhiker falls unconscious. And then Jeffrey starts strangling him to death with the bar of the dumbbell. And this is where it's like, whoa, this is like maybe part of repressed shit.
Mm-hmm.
He started to strip the clothes from the guy's body and he's like, you know, like touching his chest and stuff. And then he masturbated like while standing there.
Right. Okay.
Fucking intense.
Yeah. And I'd say
the next day, Jeffrey Dahmer dissected the guy's body in his basement. He then later buried the remains in a shallow grave in his backyard. And weeks later, he actually unearths the remains and starts like picking all the flesh away from the bones. That's when he dissolves the flesh in acid and then crushed the bones with a sledgehammer and just like scattered them all over the woodland area. Basically just doesn't want to get caught.
Huh.
Like at all.
Oh, this is different from what I was reading about.
Really?
Like, I thought he like was obsessed with trying to get like the cleanest bones, like the cleanest skull. Like he was obsessed with like, wasn't he?
Could be.
I thought he was obsessed. I'm confusing him with a different serial killer, but he really wanted to get like the perfect skull and he wasn't getting it right. But he like eventually figured out how to get the perfect skull. But yeah, it was after a lot of trial and error.
I see. Maybe that happened.
He was getting frustrated.
All I know, well, from what I was looking at for this mm-hmm. topic, he is definitely all about trying to mash bones up.
Okay.
That's like one of his jams.
Okay.
Okay. When we come back, I'm going to continue this sawdry tale of what about Jeffrey Dahmer. And we're going to talk about what happened at the Ambassador Hotel on November 20th, 1987. Right after this.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blythe.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Huge. Thank you for supporting the show. Welcome back to Shit They Do Not Tell You About. On November 20th, 1987, Jeffrey Dahmer, he was with his grandmother, and like he was living with his grandmother at the time. Mm. He encounters a 25-year-old man from Michigan, another Steve, randomly.
Yeah, fuck Steves, you know?
He finds him at a bar, persuades him to come back with him to the Ambassador Hotel in Milwaukee, where Dahmer was renting a room. Now, Jeffrey later claims he wasn't planning on killing the guy. He just wanted to drug him and then lay next, like beside him and like sexually assault him, basically.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
The following morning, he awakes to find the guy lying beneath him on the bed. His chest is crushed in and with back black and blue bruises, blood coming from the guy's mouth, and Jeffrey says that his fists and forearm were bruised heavily. He doesn't remember. He says, he claims he doesn't remember killing this guy, and kind of blacked out, and then wakes up and is like, "Holy shit!"
Damn.
Right.
That's crazy.
To dispose of the body, he buys a large suitcase. He transports the body to his grandma's house. And then a week later, again, doing the same thing, mm-hmm. he severs the head, the arms, and the legs from the torso. He fillets the bones before cutting the flesh into pieces small enough to handle. Then he buys a large briefcase. He wraps, you know, he gets all the bones, he puts them all on a sheet, he pounds them into sledgehammers, and then he takes the remains and like throws it away.
Okay. Fucking so he's just wild. Trying to dispose of.
Yeah, but the fact that he wraps the bones up and then smashes them into like little tiny pieces with yeah. a sledgehammer is like one of his things.
Interesting.
Yeah. For 2 weeks following this murder, he just had the guy's head just chilling in a blanket. And then after 2 weeks, he boils it in an effort to retain the skull, kind of what you were yeah. talking about earlier, which he then used. I'm not even going to say.
Okay.
He yeah. used it as a stimulus. I'm not even going to say.
Okay, good. Whatever. Yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah, it's fucking just insane. Following that murder, he just started to be more active about this, right? Like, that's what he describes later. He's like, he would find people close to gay bars, and then he would usually lure them. That was kind of his thing. Lure them back to his grandma's house, drugging them before or shortly after having some kind of sexual activity with them. And then once they were unconscious, he would kill them by strangulation. So like there's a thought that like, you know, maybe his want of having like being dominant over somebody like was fucking wild.
Mm-hmm.
2 months after the murder, he finds a 14-year-old Native American male prostitute. He lures him to his house, basically saying, "Hey, I'll give you $50 if you come pose nude." And the guy, like, comes with him. They engage in sexual activity. And then Jeffrey Dahmer leaves the body in the cellar for a week after strangling him. And then kind of doing the same shit we talked about before that I don't need to really describe that
yeah.
much.
Yeah, I heard one of the ways he got caught was that his house smelled... His apartment smelled like so bad, like terrible.
Yes. Look, I don't want to, you know, it's all visceral stuff.
Yeah, and if you go through each murder that he did, it
just feels weird.
Yeah, and it kind of numbs you to wrong. Like,
yeah,
the actual reality of what happened is like these are all people.
Exactly. That's what's crazy. It's yeah. so crazy when you're talking about a story of real people. Like, these people really existed, and they really were victims.
And they still have their families that yeah. are that are mourning them still.
Yeah,
it's just, like, I feel so bad when, like, they just keep remaking the same documentary. Because the victims' families, like, have to, go through that again. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I feel very torn about it. On the one sense, I think stories like these help to awaken people up to that there's not, like, all, like... roses and lollipops in the world, and like there are strangers that have really malicious intent, and you know, to have your guards up when it comes to the way people are acting towards you. But on the other hand, like the visceralness of the way that the murders went down, I think some people get too
into it.
Yeah, into that.
Yeah, I agree with yeah. that. I agree with that. Even as I was just reading on that, man, I mean, this is all from Wikipedia, but I'm like, man.
I think because it's just so crazy that it does detach you from it being like, you know, real people involved, because it's so crazy.
Because you kind of have to rationalize that with yourself.
Like, yeah.
It's a very strange thing.
Like only monsters are like this. Like,
right.
Like not another person, like right. another human being did this. It's crazy.
No, it's crazy. Anyway, we're going to talk about Jeffrey Dahmer's capture.
Okay.
So July 22nd, 1991, he approached three men with an offer of $100 to accompany him back to his apartment to pose for nude photographs, right? He used that method before. One of the guys agreed to come back. He's 32 years old. His name's Tracy Edwards. Upon entering the apartment, he's immediately hit with a wall of like
stench,
foul odor. Yes. Yeah,
see, exactly.
He also noticed several boxes of hydrochloric acid on the floor, which Jeffrey claimed to use for cleaning bricks. After minor conversation, the victim responds to Jeffrey's request to turn his head and view his tropical fish. So he's like, hey, turn your head and look at my tropical fish. How strange is that shit? And then he looks down and sees that there's a handcuff being put on his wrist. He's like, what the fuck is happening? And then Jeffrey unsuccessfully gets the guy's wrists cuffed, and the guy immediately like started to struggle, but he was like verbally, right? He was still just confused as to exactly what the fuck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Jeffrey took out a knife and he's like, hey, I just want to take nude pics. And the guy was just like, fuck, what am I gonna do, right? So he unbuttons his shirt and saying he would let him, you can take pics, just take off the handcuffs, right? And just put the knife away. And then Jeffrey turns to the TV and the victim is like, dude, he was like rocking back and forth and chanting. So he puts his face on the guy's chest. He's listening to his heartbeat and he has the knife pressed against him and tells the victim, I'm going to eat your heart. So the guy's like, hey, dude, I'm cool. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm chill. I'm your friend. And he basically is just like trying to stall Jeffrey. Yeah. And he decided he's like, I'm going to fucking jump out a window. I can run through the front door. Like, what am I going to do? And then he's like, hey, I got to use the bathroom. And he asked if they could just chill with a beer. So he's like, there's a very intense thing going on here. Like, yeah. Where the guy knows that Jeffrey's being like, wants to kill him, mm-hmm. and eat his heart, but he's just trying to like act chill about it instead of like being frantic and fucking really making him go aggro. So then he's like, let's just have a beer in the living room. There's air conditioning in there. And then Jeffrey's like, yeah, okay, cool. And they walked in the living room, and when the guy finishes going to the bathroom, and then once they're in the living room, he waited until Jeffrey had a momentary lapse in concentration, that's what he describes, before requesting to use the bathroom again. And he gets up on the couch. He notes that Jeffrey's not holding handcuffs. And that's when he just fucking clubs him in the face. He punches him off balance, hits him in the head, runs out the front door, and then he runs outside. This is 11:30 at night, July 22nd. He flags down Milwaukee police officers on the street corner. And the officers immediately like take note of like, holy shit, the guy has a fucking handcuff,
mm-hmm.
like on his wrist. And he's telling the officers like, this freak placed handcuffs on me, and asked the police if he could remove them. The police tried to use their handcuff keys,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't fit. So then he basically leads the police back to the apartment where he had been with Jeffrey, right? And the officers get there, apartment 213. Dahmer invites them all in and just says like, yeah, I put the handcuffs on the guy. I have no real explanation. I did that. And that's when the guy, the victim, tells the officers that Jeffrey had threatened him with a knife, and Jeffrey just didn't say anything about that. He instead says, oh, you can get the handcuff key. It's like right there. Right. And so he's just trying to be agreeable. And once one of the police officers enters the bedroom, Jeffrey tries to hand him the key himself, like being like cool, like trying to be overly cool. And the second officer's like, hey, back off. Right. You gotta fuck off, back off. Right.
What do you mean overly cool? What do you mean?
Oh, he like the police are in his house.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, let me get through the key. It's fine. Everything's good.
But why would the other officer be like, back off?
Because he's trying to hand something to the police officer.
Oh, okay.
And like they were like, hey, back off, right? Because they thought this entire thing was fucking crazy.
They must smell the house.
Well, that too. That too. So in the bedroom, the police officer noted there was a huge knife under the bed. He saw an open drawer which had tons of Polaroid pictures, many of which were human bodies in various stages of dismemberment. Then he noticed the decor, was the same as the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, holy shit. And he walks in the living room. He shows the pictures to his partner. And that's when Jeffrey starts fighting with the officers to try to resist arrest. They overpower him, cuff him, and got backup. And then they open the fridge to reveal a severed head. And Jeffrey immediately blurts out, for what I did, I should be dead. Basically, he knows he's got.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, they found a bunch of severed heads, later on in the apartment. They found seven skulls, I believe. They found just a bunch of different human body
remains.
Yeah. Yes. That I'm going to skip past.
Okay.
But he ends up being with the police officers, and he's just confessing to, the murders that he committed. And they did 60 hours of interviews where Jeffrey waived his right to an attorney and was just like, let me take you through everything. And that's why we know about all this stuff and so much details about all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why I picked this particular topic, I mean, I was joking earlier about search or whatever. It's just that everyone was talking about this recently.
Yeah.
While I was just filming with JK, everyone in the room was talking about it. Everyone's been watching this Netflix show and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we live in a strange time where you can actually produce a piece of art about something that real that happened to real people and that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's such a strange thing to that we do this as a culture. Of course, everyone loves the true story, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy right now about the whole true crime genre. It's kind of getting attacked because it's a lot of females, mostly a female demographic, which is weird because they're the
a lot
biggest,
of white moms.
They're the biggest victims of the crimes usually. Not in Dahmer's case, but a lot of the serial killers, target women. And so there's a debate on this shouldn't be right because there's a lot of victims and stuff. And then the women are it helps to know the psychology behind this so that you can protect yourself. And then, we have shows like that Mind, what was that? That
Mindhunters.
Yeah, where it really reflects how learning more about serial killers and the way that their minds operate and the way that they their motives and all of that stuff, there's linkages to
patterns.
Yeah, there's patterns, and
so
I think
use to help find other ones.
Exactly. And prevent serial mm-hmm. killers and kind of nip it in the bud next time instead of acting like it's all just random people.
Well, that was such a fascinating element to what Mindhunter, I guess, reminded people about, is that it was controversial when people wanted to talk to these serial killers and actually try to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
It was controversial at the time. Yeah. It's why would you ever want to talk to a serial killer, for example?
Exactly.
Right? Not the best example, but it's almost a cancel culture thing. But it's not the best example.
Why
because,
are you platforming serial killers?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but they're just trying to the police officers who were behind that the Mindhunter show. The reason why the show
they changed
exists.
The whole way investigations work.
Yeah, let's talk to these guys. Let's find out their patterns. Let's actually try to attack the source of the problem so that we can help to find other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, politicians and all kinds of stuff, people, voters, all kinds of stuff at the time. They're like, that's fucked up. Why would you ever want to even sit in the same room as those people? They're monsters, etc. And of course they are. Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just about, like you said, understanding something.
Yeah.
Trying to get some kind of scientific rationale.
For the heinous crimes that occurred, it's nice to at least find the silver lining is we can learn from these killers and possibly prevent future killers or future killings from happening.
And it's one of those things. So you know, the fact that our culture is so obsessed with this stuff. And like, you know, there's that movie Monster with Charlize Theron, Academy Award winning movie. Mm-hmm. Like there's like, we do have a need to dramatize true stories and like, you know, people want to, you know, it's like a horror movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You love watching it in the theater. You love like the fucking thrill up your back of like, holy shit, that's scary. And like the jump scares or whatever it is, but nobody wants to go through that themselves, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a weird spectator sport that we all participate in as a culture. And I just thought it was an interesting thing to like that everyone is so fascinated again. Like I said, everybody that I know is like watching this Dahmer show. But like, is there a line? Is there some part of this that is wrong? Like, because it does feel kind of wrong. Even, dude, when I was just reading about like those bones and all that stuff, it's like, holy shit, like that actually happened.
Yeah, I was reading the tweet about a cousin of one of the victims was pretty mad because like they were doing side by sides of like, look how it was portrayed in the documentary. The cousin had like a mental breakdown in court and goes off on this rant. And because her freaking brother just got killed, right? And like she found out about it in the most horrific way. And then they're like, look how it was portrayed in the movie, in the documentary versus the real life. And like it was almost like kind of praising the actor for doing such a great recreation. Yeah. But this is actually a real person mm-hmm. who went through a traumatic experience. And
now people are dramatizing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I always kind of thought that the families gave permission when they would do shit like this, but apparently they don't
have to. They don't need their permission. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things too. It's like, what is the line? Because like the news does this.
Yeah.
Like you're watching the news and they're talking about something fucked up that just happened, and then you have to sit through ads after. So it's like, It's
monetizing.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange indictment of our culture, but it's also not like nobody's watching this shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, supply and demand. But this particular topic I brought up because, you know, so Jeffrey, right, mm-hmm. was repressing, I think, throughout his youth. And this is not just one reason why he was a killer, right? There was a lot going on there. But like the idea of, you know, repressing yourself leads to pain, I believe. And I think that keeping, you know, parts of yourself in the shadows
mm-hmm.
can lead to worse things.
Yeah, we should do an episode on the shadow self and shadow work and stuff. Because I think that is a really important thing to confront that a lot of people don't, because you're kind of shamed not to. Like,
can you describe the shadow self?
It's like the parts of you that aren't socially acceptable. So you've always been told they're wrong, and so they like live in the shadows. They're not, they don't disappear.
You're not talking about like picking boogies either. You're talking about like,
I'm talking about like it could be a number of things. Like maybe you do this really, maybe you like constantly interrupt people, or like and that's bad societally. Like that's rude. You know, why would you do that? You're shamed, you're punished for it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, but like, then whenever you see people interrupting people, you're like, get all mad about them.
Because you do.
Because it's a part of you,
yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
That you haven't like really accepted. Mm-hmm. You hate that part of you. And so instead of acknowledging that the part of you exists, you pretend it doesn't. And then you point it out at when other people are doing that thing because you really just hate it in yourself.
Yes.
And so when you do shadow work, it's like accepting these parts of you that were labeled bad, that there's like a, that like the more you deny them, the more they grow like inside of you in the shadows, and then they can manifest and come out in like toxic ways mm-hmm. rather than like you deal with them on your own and you kind of accept them and you work with your shadow self in a way that's more healthy and productive to your authentic, like it makes you a complete authentic whole person
right.
when you attach the shadow to your self that you identify with, because you don't really have a whole identity without it.
Got it.
So yeah, like denying that this part of you exists like cuts off part of who you authentically are.
Yeah, I think it leads to pain.
And it leads to unhealthy behaviors or things. It can, it doesn't necessarily, but it can show itself in other ways because you didn't deal with it.
What do you think about especially the female fascination with the true crime stuff that's going on right now, like a lot of those true crime podcasts?
Well, I talked about it already. Like, I think that there's a case to be made that, like, I like listening about true crime, but it's more the psychological aspects of, like, I'm very interested on what motivates people to do things, like what in their mind, like in their backstory, made them go that far and go into that realm. And I am interested in that, not just with serial killers, but with everything, like what motivates people to succeed, like really, and go really high up. So I like exploring all ends of the spectrum of human motivation. And when something extreme, like crazy killers that do extreme things, happens, like crazy examples of it, I like to explore the psychology of it, just like Mindhunters, like where, like, are there patterns in that type of behavior? Is there something you can stop in childhood or have prevented that from happening? Is there a way that, like, if that person had gotten help or gotten support or seen a therapist earlier in their life, could that have been prevented? Right. I'd like to know. And, like, from an acting perspective, like when I was doing a lot of acting, a lot of it is just studying people and their backstories. You do such in-depth backstories on characters because there's a certain way that if you're brought up and you have these memories, like trauma is what kind of creates aspects of your personality. And
yeah,
I just think all that is fascinating. And I am also fascinated with how they solved cases. So
that's what I love.
I'm most fascinated in, like, yeah,
to see the answers, but I like caught. To see how, and yeah, I love
or
that.
How certain victims got away, like what changed, why
what
was
gave
that
them
one
a better chance?
Was that one able to get away? I think that's helpful in protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. And so there's a myriad of reasons why I like to hear about the stories, and the fact that it's real and that it's not fiction helps that, like, you can actually derive patterns from it. Like, it's not just a made up character. It's like these people actually did this stuff, and there are patterns that exist that you can learn and protect yourself with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there was an episode of Oprah. My mom was obsessed with Oprah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was an episode of Oprah where Oprah had a guy on who was talking about how you have to be careful when you live, like, in an area that has water, because you could just drive off the fucking road and, like, be in the water and you can't get out of your car.
So you got the thing.
So you get
the hammer.
I
have one in my car.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those things that, in my cynical brain, I could look at that and go, that guy's just there to make money off of people's fear,
mm-hmm,
that might happen to them.
Uh-huh.
But then my, like, the
survival
my
part.
Yeah, my actual reality part of my brain is like, that could be handy one day if I was ever in that situation. I'll pay $20 for that, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, my cynical brain and my rational brain, they do war sometimes over stuff like this, because I could just look at this and go, well, that guy just wants to sell hammers. Or I could look at that and go,
well, I think it's healthy to have all those perspectives, you know, not be, like, so sold on one way or the other. I think that that's a problem with, like, people just being so hard on, like, one direction.
One angle,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's so many different perspectives and they're all valid.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's funny how it, like, my mother the day before didn't know about this problem. And the day after, it was the biggest problem in the world to her. You know what I mean? She's buying the fucking hammer.
Well, the best salespeople create the problem and then solve it.
And I saw that happen, right? Up close and personal. But it's always kind of fascinated me about how quickly you can make someone go, holy shit, that is my problem.
Yeah.
I need anti-serial killer spray or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so there is, you know, unfortunately, people can take anything and do bad with it,
mm-hmm,
or do good with it, whatever it is. But yeah, I thought it was kind of a fascinating way to look at our culture.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's all the time we have. There is a new Netflix series, not sponsored at all. God.
You're right.
But anyway, yeah. Hope you enjoy.
You just called Jeff with the period.
I mean, we're close to Halloween, right? So it's kind of like,
that's true,
along the lines of, you know, stay safe out there, everybody.
I'm more of a Hocus Pocus 2 kind of guy.
Me too.
Kind of fella.
We haven't seen Hocus Pocus 2. Don't be a poser. Hocus Pocus 1. But maybe Hocus Pocus 2.
I was being a poser.
Maybe soon.
You should have had my back on that, but you called me out on the
matter. Well, no, I'm not letting you get away with scamming and lies.
All right, guys. Hey, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. I do a cool show in there called Crypto Corner every Tuesday night. Talk about the deep market. And boy, is it deep right now, covered in water. Anyway, we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.